SBS στα ελληνικά.
Stephanie Jacobs, or in Greek, Stefania Iakovou, is a PhD student at Flinders University. Stephanie's thesis examines first-hand accounts of Muslim-Christian relations that existed on both the individual and community level between Greek and Turkish Cypriots in several former mixed villages of Cyprus before civil unrest broke out on the island. Stephanie, Ms. Jacobs, firstly, I would like to welcome you at the Greek program of SBS. My first question is, why did you decide to choose this topic?
I chose this topic because I was motivated to write the hidden history of Cyprus, that of cooperation and friendship between Greek and Turkish Cypriots before conflict arose on the island. And I was really inspired by my bapu, Kostas, and his best friend Mehmet Emin, a Turkish Cypriot from the village of Aya Irini. And I heard stories as a child from my bapu of growing up with Turkish Cypriots and the good relationships that once existed. And when I studied at university, I started to look into this topic further, and I realised there was a real gap in the history of Cyprus when it comes to the relationships between Greek and Turkish Cypriots before the conflicts in the 60s and the 1974 invasion.
Could you please give us a few examples of how was the coexistence of these two, can we say, different cultures?
I've actually done 73 interviews, so just so you know, I have interviewed quite a wide range of Greek and Turkish Cypriots, both in Cyprus and in Australia. And I really wanted to focus on the former mixed villages of Cyprus. So just so you understand, my focus has been primarily on three villages, Aya Irini, Polis Chrysochus and Alaminos. They were all former mixed villages. Aya Irini was a Turkish Cypriot majority village, and Polis Chrysochus was a Greek Cypriot majority village, and Alaminos was 50-50. I interviewed people still living there today, and then I found the people from the other group on the other side and interviewed them. So I actually have the stories of both Greek and Turkish Cypriots from all of these three villages, so I can tell you about my findings, because I actually have heard the same stories, very similar stories from both groups. And what they are is they talk about the personal level relationships that existed before the conflict, and that's very much friendships, intermarriages. They were not common, but the majority of the people I interviewed recall intermarriages taking place. They can remember intermarriages occurring. There was gumbari. Many Greek and Turkish Cypriots would be gumbari for one another, and they took this very seriously. So with weddings on the Monday, it was usually three-day weddings from Saturday, Sunday to Monday, and Monday was the day of the gumbari, and that's when the gumbari would pay for the wedding and would get food from the village, from different houses and different people in the village to put on the feast and the festival. So I heard stories like this, but also the most interesting thing I've found is that there was a thing called milk mothers. So the Turkish Cypriots, because they're Muslim, they understand from the Quran that if a woman breastfeeds the child of another woman, that woman becomes the second mother to that child, like with a godparent. And her children and the child that she breastfed, they cannot marry. And so what is really interesting is that the Greek Cypriots also started to understand this concept, and they thought of it in the same way. So they took on this Muslim Turkish Cypriot practice as their own practice, and Greek Cypriots also understood that if you breastfeed the child of another woman, that your children cannot marry. And often this went between Greek and Turkish Cypriot women. So Greek Cypriot women breastfed Turkish Cypriot children, and Turkish Cypriot women breastfed Greek Cypriot children, and they knowingly bound their families together. And so this shows that there were deep relationships between these people, because you wouldn't join your families together in this significant way if you didn't like one another. Mm-hmm. And so these personal stories were really, really significant. I didn't expect them to be such deep stories. And I also heard stories of the community-level relationships. People spoke each other's languages. More Turkish Cypriots spoke Greek than Greek Cypriots spoke Turkish, and that's because they were the minority. But many Greek Cypriots did speak Turkish as well. They attended each other's schools. They worked together. They went on strike together. And they often visited, the Greek Cypriots would visit the mosque or Turkish Cypriots would visit the church. And this was normal for them. They didn't see this as something that was all that significant or interesting because it was part of their normal lives and living in an integrated society. And so these stories, to me, paint a picture of a time when there was very good relations, and even during the 1960s when there were conflicts, and in 1974, even right up until 1974, during these tumultuous times, I did hear stories of Greek and Turkish Cypriots supporting one another and looking after one another, mm-hmm. even during those difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Often today we meet Greek Cypriots here in Australia that they talk and they understand the Turkish language. And so is it an exaggeration to say that there is a Greco-Turkish culture developed throughout all these years?
I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. However, I guess I would call it a Cypriot culture rather than a Greco-Turkish, but I guess that's because there were Armenians and Latins and other minority groups as well who all together really formed this Cypriot culture. But this is, especially between Greek and Turkish Cypriots, it's very evident from things like language. The Kypriota, the Cypriot Greek and the Cypriot Turkish languages were very much influenced by one another. It wasn't just one language that was influenced by the other, but both languages were influenced. And we can see through food, we have flaones or pilavones in Turkish. You can also see kupes and all these different foods that we consider Cypriot, but both communities, you know, consider as theirs and very important cuisine. Weddings would also go for 3 days, as I mentioned earlier. Both Greek and Turkish Cypriot weddings went for 3 days, and there were similar customs, similar food, similar music. It was just the religious components that were different, but almost everything else was identical. And so from these things, I think we can see that there was definitely a unique culture that developed. And I guess with that, there was components of a Greek culture and Turkish culture on top of just the Cypriot culture that also influenced the overall culture and identity of the island. And I think it's not unique. There are other examples where we can see this occurring, but it's a recent example. And I think that's why it's very significant, because I've interviewed people still alive who remember this time and remember this culture existing on the island.
Are you optimistic for the future to see this, the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots living together, even though the Cypriot issue is still on?
I always have to be optimistic. Mm-hmm. And that's founded in things that I've actually seen. I know that bicommunal cooperation is and has for a very long time been happening at the grassroots level in Cyprus. And we can see many organisations that have been established between the two communities, and even certain villages who, for instance, the village of Kontea in the north of Cyprus, Greek Cypriots often come to the north and they meet with their former Turkish Cypriot neighbours, and they bring their children and grandchildren all together, and they dance and they sing and they perform music, and they've reconnected. And this has been completely separate from any political efforts. So I guess talking about the grassroots level and the organisational level, I can see that there's a lot of positivity and optimism there, certainly, yes.
Also, my final question is, have you interviewed here in Australia Greek Cypriots or Turkish Cypriots?
I've also interviewed across Australia Greek and Turkish Cypriots, and There's never been any research done before about the relationships between Greek and Turkish Cypriots in Australia and how they helped each other when they migrated, and they maintained or established friendships between the two groups here. And even when the conflicts were occurring in Cyprus, they remained friends in Australia. And that's something that's also really significant. And it was particularly the Greek Cypriots who helped the Turkish Cypriots when they first migrated to Australia, as there were no Turkish mainlanders in Australia until 1968. So in 1947, two decades prior, when the Turkish Cypriots migrated, it was the Greek Cypriots who helped them find jobs. And not all of them, but it was common for the Greek Cypriots through the Cyprus clubs that were established to help Turkish Cypriots find jobs and accommodation. And they did engage quite closely together, and they formed their community here. And I think that's something that's also important to understand, that even outside of Cyprus, the relationships still existed and still flourished.
Stephanie, Ms. Jacobs, thank you very much for being here with us today at the Greek program of SBS Radio.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Απολαύστε περισσότερα θέματα στη γλώσσα σας. Επισκεφτείτε την ιστοσελίδα sbs.com.au/Greek.